Welcome to episode 26, and we've got a guest as usual from DBW, which we'll explain more about later.
Please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Sure. My name is Brian Phillips. I am the owner, president, and CEO of Dominating Backyard Wrestling, one of the biggest wrestling federations, up-and-coming wrestling federations on YouTube. I also play the character of Mr. Judgment. I like to think one of the biggest backyard wrestlers today, anywhere. Yeah, that's me.
So, for all the guests, I've got a huge variety of listeners, and they come for different reasons. I've had a few different guests. I've had a quizzer, I've had musicians. So some people might not know the difference between backyard wrestling and obviously what you see in TV, WWE. And it is obvious when you think, but just for those who might be a bit stumped at the beginning, can you please explain what backyard wrestling is?
Absolutely. So backyard wrestling, I think, in general, gets a negative connotation because of what it used to be years and years ago. Yeah. It used to be just not organized, just, you know, a lot of people just having fun, and which it's still fun, by the way.
Just,
you know, wrestling on the ground or whatever you could find, a mattress or a trampoline or whatever the case was. I mean, that's what backyard wrestling is, kind of like an unorganized form of professional wrestling, WWE and AEW and things like that that you watch on TV. Of course, with a 99% lower budget, if they have any budget at all. But recently, backyard wrestling, because of social media, has really started to organize a lot better. And it's become, like I like to say with DBW, we are professional wrestling in the backyard, is like how I like to look at it. We are very organized. We have championships. We have storylines. We have characters. And there's other feds out there that are like that as well, a lot of which we partner with. It's a blast. It is a chore and a half to run these shows, I'll tell you that. But it is fantastic. So I guess for people who don't know what backyard wrestling is, it's very similar to what you would see on TV, just not as organized and of course not as much of a budget.
Yeah, just lower budget.
Yeah.
I think there's like two types. There's obviously the type that gets filmed, but I think most people, when they hear it, they think of what kids do when they're growing up and watch WWE and go on the trampoline. But there's actually organized people who record it for kind of like a company, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's how it starts. That's how a lot of backyard wrestling starts. Is it starts with, you know, of course, being a fan and still being a fan of wrestling, and, you know, just getting together with a couple of your relatives or your buddies and just being like, you know, let's just have some matches and just kind of have some fun. And then it just kind of grows from that, because we at DBW, we started out, and if I'm jumping the gun a little bit, I apologize, but we started out wrestling on a little futon mattress. So, I mean, it just kind of started from there and grew into this amazing product that we have today.
Yeah, and today it looks like it's a show that you buy to go to, obviously, because you get better and better.
Yeah, absolutely.
The area. I think backyard wrestling from the professional industry, they have two different views on it. You've got the views where people absolutely love it. Like, for example, in AEW, they used to own them, Matt and Nick Jackson. I've finished reading the book a while ago. And then you've got professionals who don't want people to get hurt, and they still view it in that negative manner as they did before.
Yes, that is very true. And I've heard it from both sides. I used to be an independent wrestler. I used to wrestle in the indies. So my guys that I have trained here are professionally trained, so to speak. And that's the first thing that is of the utmost importance to us is safety. Making sure that everyone performs and moves correctly. I mean, we've had, I don't know how many matches, I mean, hundreds of matches, and very, very, very few and very minor injuries. So it's everybody does a great job here taking care of each other. while still being in character and still telling a story. But yeah, you do hear that some professional wrestlers or indie wrestlers are very against backyard wrestling. But some support it because they look at, you know, a lot of people started from backyard wrestling and then they've elevated and tried and are going to pursue it as their career. And it's a great starting point, especially with a lot of backyard wrestling that we have today because it's so organized. And we have rings now. Like we actually have a ring. So it's just a perfect transition to take that next step.
Yeah. Once when I was looking at all the stuff and how it actually works, I found that it is just easy buying a ring online. They're not, I don't want to say they're cheap, but they're cheaper than you expect.
Yes, they are cheaper. I remember we had built a ring from scratch. Like it was an all wood ring and we built it from the ground up and it was great. But it just got to the point where, you know, it was not very big and we wanted something bigger, something that looked a little bit better. So we looked it up and I'm thinking this is going to be $10,000, $12,000 for a ring. And it's like half that price or a quarter, a third of that price. Yeah. And we're like, we got to do this. So definitely an amazing investment if you can save towards it. Or, you know, if anybody out there is back to us that doesn't have a ring yet, if you could, you know, have your guys that are in your group or in your backyard fed, everybody team up and you can get one very easy. And they ship it to you and you just follow the instructions, set it up and you're ready to go.
And I think once you get a ring, you get a lot more credibility. I mean, when people are looking for YouTube, if they see one on a mattress and see one on a ring, they're going to choose the ring.
100%. It's, you know, wrestling is all about telling a story and putting on a show. That's what it's all about. You know, whenever you strip away the layers of the characters and the moves and all that, it's about telling a story and putting on a show. And if you have proper foundation to put on a show to make it look aesthetically better, you're going to have a better product and you're going to get more attention.
Yeah, I agree. Now, we're going to come back to backyard wrestling and DBW in a second. We're just going to focus on professional now. When you were growing up, when did you decide wrestling's what you want to do? If you decided that.
So I have been a wrestling fan since I was three. I was born the same year as WrestleMania I. It's just something that I've always gravitated towards. My dad was a wrestling fan. And it's just something that I always found very enjoyable. Just the larger than life characters that I don't know if we have too much of that right now. Just because, you know, you look at the characters back then and, you know, they were actually, for example, like Hulk Hogan, you know, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Macho Man Randy Savage, who was my favorite, by the way. You know, they were characters and, you know, they weren't names. Like today, you know, you have great wrestlers like Seth Rollins and John Cena, but to me, they're not larger than life characters, to me, in my opinion, at least not what we... Not that bar that was set back then. I just kind of, you know, I always grew up a fan, so I always watched it. You know, back when WCW Nitro and Raw were doing the Monday Night Wars, I was heavy into WCW. I was a huge Goldberg fan. And just that fresh perspective that he brought to matches that had never been done before, those quick matches that it was just like lightning bolts. And I can just remember every match just sitting on the edge of my seat, just, you know, if he got slammed or something, it was like, oh my God, Goldberg just got slammed. What's going on? You know, yes, exactly. So, you know, so just continuing to watch it. And then, you know, a couple of my relatives, we kind of wrestled for fun on a trampoline. And, you know, kind of came up with our little characters and our little wrestling federation name and all that kind of stuff. And it really started with that. And then it just, we took a little bit of a break in 2012. Well, first of all, this started probably back in the late 90s.
Okay.
Just to show you my age a little bit. It's been a long, long journey to get to where we are today. But it started back then with my relatives, my cousins, and my brothers and I. I have two younger brothers that were very close, and we all loved watch wrestling. So I just made it even better. So we started there and, you know, kind of did our thing there. And then we had moved when I was in high school to an area in southern Pennsylvania in the United States. And that where we moved, it was kind of in a community, and there was already some backyard wrestlers in that community. So we were like, and they just wrestled on the ground. So we had been wrestling on futon mattresses. So when we brought our mattresses, they're like, oh my God, this is awesome. We got to wrestle on the ground anymore. Oh my God. So we had, it was their company versus our company, which was the DWF, Dominating Wrestling Federation at the time. And, you know, we did a little bit of cross promotion kind of thing. And then we had one big event where it was kind of like a winner take all thing. We ended up, DWF ended up beating out their company. So their wrestlers came over to us. So then we just grew a little bit more. We kind of took a break for a little bit. And then when we came back, it really, really started to explode. And, you know, that was about 2014, 2015. We were on a trampoline. 2016, we had handmade the ring, did that for a year. And when we handmade that ring, because we actually had ropes and everything, we started putting it up on YouTube about that time.
Yeah.
And when we did, we started getting interest. And then there was guys from outside the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area that were messaging me that saying, hey, they want to come down. They want to be a part. And that's like adding 5-6 more guys. And we're like, yeah, we got something here. Yeah. So after that year of wrestling on our own ring that we had built, then we're like, you know, we got enough guys here. We can legitimately put on a good show, and we need a better presentation. So that's when we bought our ring. And then it is what you see today. And, you know, we have a roster of about 20 to 25 guys. It's a huge roster. You know, everyone from myself to Cyrus, who's been with us pretty much every step of the way, Casey James, RJ Carnage, The Blaze, who's my son, who's just absolutely phenomenal. You know, all the guys are just so good. And the talent that we even get in from outside the company, it's just like whenever they come to the DBW, it just kind of raises the bar a little bit every show, it seems like. So, and that's where we are today.
It's quite a rise. And I'm assuming YouTube's obviously really helped with that and online.
It has. YouTube, Facebook, primarily. We try to keep those current. Instagram a little bit, Twitter a little bit. But our main focus is YouTube and Facebook. I mean, we're on YouTube. We're about ready to hit 400,000 views. Which is incredible for backyard wrestling content, nothing else. So we're very thankful for that, and thankful for everyone that watches us and follows us. And I'm noticing more and more with every show that I get people messaging me on the channel or on the page saying, you know, when is the next show coming out? You know, what's going on with this? And so we're trying to do a little bit more. We're trying to add a little bit more entertainment value this year than we have in past years. We've reintroduced the Simon Bartholomew character, who is just kind of a fun character. He's got a potty mouth for days, but he's kind of a funny character, you know, just to kind of keep that entertainment. He'll do a lot of the pre and post match. We're going to include post and pre-match interviews now, backstage interviews in with the shows, and build up shows to help build up the bigger events. So we're really excited for this year.
YouTube has been amazing for loads of backyard wrestling companies. Like, there's quite a few that I watched. A few of them have closed now because it's been around that long, YouTube. I think it also helps that all these big wrestlers, especially in AEW, like Fuego del Sol and the Young Bucks, they were in backyard. Fuego del Sol, I think he had like 100,000 subscribers or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Fuego del Sol in particular, I've been in the ring with. He wrestled as Cage in backyard wrestling. And I've been in the ring with him. There was a show, kind of a compilation show or a mega show called Best in the Yard. That VTW hosted when they were still around, but they're not really around anymore because all those guys have went to the indies now. Mm-hmm. So NUW, who's Newberg Underground Wrestling, who I strongly recommend to check out. They're one of our sister companies that we partner with. They're actually doing the hosting duties for Best in the Yard. You know, they thought that Best in the Yard 4, which was the last one that was done like 2 or 3 years ago, they thought that was going to be the last one, but we made some things happen and pulled some string, and there's going to be a fifth. And those were just great shows because you got talent from, you know, years ago, from current and future, and just bringing them all together to put on some dream matches, things like that. And that's where I met Cage at Best in the Yard 4. I main evented that show with Aaron Jones. And he was at that show. He had a match, spectacular match, and we did some training in the ring a little bit. Phenomenal guy.
Yeah, that's how I found out about DVW. I watched and I binge watched all of, I think it was KBW, and then I was just looking for more shows, and there were some that were amazing, and I stumbled across yours. I think it was like an old video. I think you were in a hall or something. I can't remember. I found one of your videos, and I enjoyed the characters and the story, so I started subscribing and watching.
Thank you. Yeah. We used to be in a building where we were there for a long time. We were in Southern Pennsylvania we had been there long enough, and it's just, we backyard wrestling is about being in the backyard, and, you know, it's about having to deal with the elements and things like that, and being outside and having that atmosphere there. So we're now outside and we're in a great place right now. It's just a beautiful setting about where we put on shows. But yeah, we have guys from tons of feds come here, and we're working with some feds, some new feds that we haven't worked with, but in the past, we're working with some this year to try to bring some of their talent over from Michigan and Chicago and some other places. So really excited.
Yeah, in the UK where I am, I don't think there's too much backyards. There's obviously backyard wrestling. There's quite a few, but they're never elevated, because I think in the UK, the attitude for wrestling is you grow up and you move on, or you stay a fan for life. And if you're fan for life, you end up going to the indie shows because they're easier to access. And obviously backyard wrestling got a bad name in all the hardcore stuff. So
sure, yeah.
I think wrestling's building up in the UK.
Well, that's good. It's definitely something, as long as it can be done safely, I would strongly promote it. I would help promote it. I would help push it. That's the biggest thing, just making sure everybody's kept safe and doing everything in your power to make sure that happens. Beyond that, go crazy, you know, go do whatever you want to do. And whatever you can do to, you know, bring that shock factor or build up characters to make them interesting. And I think that's a big part of why DVW is so successful, is because we do have very, very interesting, great characters here. And it keeps people engaged and interacting with us more and more, and it keeps people watching. And, you know, we're really trying hard to build up some storylines that people can easily follow, easier than they have before in the past. So, you know, we're taking a different direction than the really extreme hardcore stuff, but we do have a little bit of that. So, because we do have a World Extreme Championship, and those matches have just been crazy good, especially Total Domination 6 is our next big event that we're putting up, and we finished recording that. It's in the editing process now, and I cannot wait till that goes out to the public. Cannot wait.
What I like about the storylines is it's always unpredictable for any backyard. Like sometimes when you're watching TV, you can see where it's going because they do that much production into it. You can follow along a lot of the story. But I prefer the backyard because it's one show every now and then, so it's not overloaded. But because it's one show every now and then, if you forgot something, you can easily go back.
And I think that's another key thing too that you bring up that we did this year. We reorganized our channel. And we started to reorganize our channel, so it's easy to watch if you wanted to go back and watch certain events, we haven't always posted our events as one complete video. We used to post them match by match, and now we have them set up as playlists. So you can easily access the playlist, go to the playlist, you can watch the whole event in its entirety and the promos to build up the matches.
Which adds a lot, because it's like WWE Network on, well, what gets advertised all the time on WTV until Peacock. It's amazing to watch stuff back as well when, like, oh, have these two wrestled before?
Yeah.
If this is good, and you go, oh, they have, and it were good, or, oh, wait, no, they've not. They seem to be quite good chemistry. But when you're, the one thing that would put me off starting one is managing the egos, because obviously they don't do it on purpose, but I'm sure at the beginning everybody wants to win and everybody wants the title.
So, yes. And there is no shortage of egos in backyard wrestling, that's for sure. But I try to do my best here at DBW and just be straightforward and honest. And I tell them, you know, whenever you come into DBW, you're going to lose. And you're going to lose a lot, because you're not an established character. Nobody that watches just our product. Now, I know a lot of people who watch our product watch a lot of other stuff, but nobody who just watches our product on YouTube or Facebook knows you from anybody else. So you have to build yourself up, prove yourself worthy. Have we made exceptions? Yes, we have made exceptions with a few individuals that we thought were, you know, just the time was right, or the storyline could be pushed this way to have them pick up a quick victory instead of waiting down the line. But yeah, so the great thing about DBW right now is we have, and I don't take this for granted and I don't take it lightly, we do not have any drama at all. There's no drama. There's really no egos. There's no nothing. We just come here. We're all friends. We show up. We have a great time. And that's what it's all about. Just being a fan.
Yeah.
That's to me, and I try not to overdo it, but I do a lot of the actual camera work, like actually cameraman. And recently, I'm more on commentary, which is good. That's where I need to be. But I get so into the matches. Like, I am our biggest fan. I swear, I am our biggest fan of DBW. And I just, even though I know what's going to happen, because I pretty much make the final say in the predetermination of everything, I still get so excited seeing it play out. And it's just, there are some matches that have just stood the test of time in my mind that have just been incredible. Whether it's been my matches or anybody else's matches, there have been so many for DBW that they just stick out in my mind because they were so well done.
That would be amazing. That would be my favorite part, writing the stories. Obviously, following, I'd love the in-ring work. I'd love everything else, but I'd love the behind-the-scenes part the most.
There's a lot that goes into it. It's a lot more than just the moves. You know, it is about the story and the characters. Like, you know, we want to get past the times and the days where it's just two random wrestlers just fighting each other in a match just because. Yeah. Like, we want to get to the point where it's why. Why are they fighting at this big event? You know, what is the story behind all this that is making them wrestle? What is making them come to battle? And that's what we're trying to push.
Which is obviously much better to watch than just two randos you don't know.
Right.
Fighting, especially when you know that it's scripted, that you want it to be a good story, obviously.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Unless it's a good story, you kind of just switch off. You want to care.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of twists and turns in our stories that we have, and a lot of unpredictability, which keeps everything fresh, like on your toes. Like this year, the stories that are going to be playing out, oh, it's going to be so good. We're so excited. There's lots of little storylines going on, but we have one major storyline that's going to take precedence, and it's going to be very obvious starting at Total Domination 6. And I'm so excited to see everybody's reaction of the story, because it's something that we as DBW has never done before. So
I'm excited.
Thank you. Yeah, me too.
So I'm going to talk a bit about now actually working in the ring. Do you find it easier to play as a face or a heel? For people who don't know too much wrestling, good guy or bad guy?
Yeah, so a face is a good guy and a heel is a bad guy. I personally have always found it easier playing a heel.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the character of Mr. Judgment, I've been a heel for 99% of my career. You know, whether it was in the indies or whether it was in backyard, I've always been a bad guy. And, you know, I'm coming up on my 21st year of wrestling between backyard and independent. So, you know, and it's just so much easier. And, you know, depending on how you do it, first of all, it's all about, you know, the crowd that's there, whether they are fans or whether it's wrestlers themselves being part of the crowd. You have to get them involved in the match, whether you're face or heel. But it's just so much easier to just pick and prod at people than it is to get them to rally behind you. I've just always found it easier. And, you know, I can go into the Mr. Judgment character in a bit, but, you know, it, to me, being a heel is more fun and is easier. But some people don't think that way. Some people think it's easier to have the crowd rally behind you, be behind it, be the good guy, the hero, so to speak. So, you know, that's just my personal preference. But in the ring, the key thing is whenever you are doing backyard wrestling, or any wrestling for that matter, as soon as you come through that curtain, the person that you are in your everyday life takes a back seat. Wow. You are that person or that thing that you are trying to convince everyone that you are. So like for me, you know, I am, you know, with a life, I'm Brian Phillips. I am a retail manager, one of the nicest guys you can meet. But then as soon as I come through that curtain, it's a completely different story. And it is that way for a lot of guys, and a lot of guys who have done this for a long time have it aced down to a T. And some guys are improving and getting better at that, that, you know, they are trying to really portray the character that they want the audience to believe this is who they are. Yeah. So.
And it's a lot easier to make somebody hate you than adore you.
It is. It is.
Especially in a short space of time.
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at WWE. I mean, they tried so hard for John Cena to be the baby face good guy. He was booed out of more buildings than I can count. Same with Roman Reigns. Yeah. Same deal. It's because I feel as though they weren't being genuine. Yeah. Like Roman Reigns now as a heel, a billion times better because he's being himself.
Yeah.
And that was the issue with Stone Cold. So he came in as stunning Steve Austin and the Ringmaster and these people that were just, ugh. I mean, it wasn't him. And they said, you know what? Just be yourself. And he became the redneck and pissed off at everybody and the anti-hero. And he was loved. Same with The Rock. You know, they tried to do him with his tribal gimmick and the Rocky Maivia thing. And they said, no, be yourself. That's all you need. It did. It worked so well.
It also depends what audience. Like, obviously, Roman Reigns, for people who've watched wrestling, especially the Attitude Era, they don't want that at the beginning. And what amazed me was, I think when he won the Rumble, they brung The Rock out and he was still getting booed.
Yes.
You really hated.
Well, you can even see it on The Rock's face. Like, what is going on here?
Getting booed, why?
So it is always easier to, you know, just kind of you know, put a stamp. It's always easier, in my opinion, to be a heel, to make people hate you than it is to love you. Because, you know, if you really want the crowd to adore you and get behind you, they have to believe in you. And that doesn't come about right away. It takes time.
And the only reason Roman Reigns can still be seen as a success, he earned more of the money, obviously, which WWE is a business. And I think that's because the audience they were going for, they're in the PG era now, obviously, because of a bunch of controversial stuff and easier to get a sponsorship if you're PG. So they went PG.
Oh, and heaven forbid you offend somebody nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, fair enough, but they want money. It shocked me though when they went into politics, but they were still trying not to offend anyone. A bit confusing, but
I don't get it.
Yeah, but I suppose he still works because when you're a kid, you don't think too much about it, like when you're 6 or 7. But I suppose now they're after the viewership's declining, they want to get back up there. So hopeful that you see more genuine characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best way I found to be a face, which is ironic, is to be treated really poorly by the company. So the fans feel sorry for you?
Yes, so like the underdog kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's with like my son, the Blaze. You know, he has been a fan favorite just about since day one. And, you know, it helped with him because he was so much smaller than everybody else. I mean, he was a tiny little guy, but he could hold his own with everybody that he was in the ring with. And now that he's grown up and, you know, he's starting to get taller, and now he's starting to be the same size as everybody else. That,
unbelievable.
Yes, that uniqueness is going away that created him to be this baby face. So it's a little bit, you got to work a little bit harder to get the crowd to rally behind you.
Yeah, and obviously he can still play on the past for a little bit.
Sure.
But eventually, new viewers will be like, why?
Yep, why? You're exactly right.
And I think that's where a lot of people seem to fall down, because they've played in the past too much. Like, you see all these companies that are growing up and they're doing really well wrestling.
Sure.
But they're still trying to play on the character that they played at 11 when they're 27, for example.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Different story. Obviously, it's nothing about the in-ring work. It's the story.
Right. You know, for me, if I can take a few minutes to kind of go through the journey of my Mr. Judgment character. So it's been a hell of a journey. So, you know, I kind of started out with the Mr. Judgment character as kind of like this pompous, arrogant, full of himself, conceited, you know, almost like almost to a point of being a comical character. And then I was like, you know what? I need to really, because I was kind of like, I was a heel, but I was kind of like, I was being laughed at as a heel because I was trying to do funny things in the ring, trying to make things
talk. Kind of like what the Miz was going like, or MJF.
Yes, yes. So, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to completely change things. So that's when I created the Prophet.
Yeah.
And that's when I created this really, really evil guy. And I went from being a heel to being an evil heel.
Yeah.
And when I was creating this character, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, what can I do with Mr. Judgment that will make everybody hate him? What's the one thing that you can pick at that's going to strike a nerve with almost everybody? And you know what that one thing is? It is religion.
Oh, always controversial.
So, yes. So I'm like, you know what? I am pretty much a cult leader to my own cult. I believe I'm the right hand of God himself. I am the prophet of purgatory. I decide whether you go to heaven or hell and where your souls go and your soul is mine and all that kind of thing. Like a real life Shang Tsung or something. But anyway, so, you know, I decided to take that route and actually put some real deep thought and character into it. Like, make the entrances, you know, my favorite wrestler ever is Macho Man. You know, but in my top three is The Undertaker, you know, huge influence on me. So huge influence on me.
In the business.
It's insane. But just his iconic character, it'll never not be amazing. And it's right. So it's very hard to have an evil gimmick and not be compared to The Undertaker.
Yeah.
In backyard wrestling and professional wrestling. So I like to think that with my character, with coming out with all this, you know, flamboyant with the robes and that Pope hat and now with the face paint, you know, kind of half good, half evil, you know, I like to think I've segregated myself as a completely different kind of evil than what he did.
Yeah.
Cause that to me can never be replicated what he did. Never, ever, ever. So that has worked so well. And really put my character on the map, not just with DBW, but interest in other feds as well. And some indie wrestlers. And then I came up with, you know, when you have the character, sometimes you get things that you don't expect to catch on, like a catchphrase and things like that. So I created a one-word catchphrase that caught on like wildfire, and it was just the word filth.
Oh, wow.
So I just started calling everyone that I was in the ring with filth, And then I get like, I show up to Biddy 4 and Best of Yard 4, and people are chanting, Phil, Phil, Phil. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And they do that at all the shows now. And it's just it's things that you don't expect that the crowd will just kind of catch on to and keep a hold of. It has been a very interesting journey for my Mr. Judgment character. I've always been Mr. Judgment. I've always had the Judgment Slam as my finishing maneuver. Right now I'm actually transitioning to being a face, because I tried to do really bad things and was still getting cheered for it. So I'm like,
no,
I'm just going to go with it. So, I'm now a good guy. That's going to be even more apparent in the events to come. So,
yeah, that good at being bad people root for you.
Yes, well, it's just kind of like the Stone Cold Steve Austin image. He was an anti-hero kind of thing. Like he was a bad guy that was good. People loved him. So, yeah.
Which is on paper stuff like that shouldn't necessarily work because it contradicts what the fans want, but it does, and it works really well. And it's gimmicks like that that I prefer, because again, it's like on paper it's the uniqueness of wrestling. Nowhere else where it's setting the real world in real time would it work other than wrestling, because it's fun. That's what it is in the end. Wrestling's supposed to be fun.
It is, absolutely. You know, I've always told my guys here, you know, everyone has things going on in their personal life, and the real world sucks. I mean, things that are going on it with the pandemic, and even before that, I mean, things are just generally not good. But, you know, I said, guys, whenever we come together and record a show for DBW, treat DBW like its own little island. And all that stuff that's going on in your life, just leave it alone. Just take a couple days, because a lot of my guys will come the day before, we'll help set up, we'll talk about things, and we'll hang out, and then we'll do the show. Some of them stay until the next day and then go home, because I have a lot of guys that travel very far to get here. Like, I have some guys that'll travel 8, 9, 10 hours to get here and wrestle a 15-minute match and go home. That to me is so much dedication, that they're willing to take that much time, that much money, and that much energy out to come to DBW to wrestle in a 20-minute match. But it's more than that, because we're like, it's almost like an extended family. Like, we really do treat it like it's a vacation weekend. You know, I mean, we hang out before, we hang out after, we have fun, we play cards, you know, whatever we want to do, you know, after the show, because we are all genuinely friends. Yeah. That we've all met through this great hobby that we have.
And it's what makes it so enjoyable, the dedication that people put in.
Completely agree. And my guys have some of the most dedication I have ever seen. So
I'd love and hate to be in your shoes there, because when people travel that long, I wouldn't want to disappoint them, but equally I know that in the long term, there have to be one or two things that make it not worth it, so that the big end, but the end of the story is. I'd hate that, because I'd be like, thank you so much, I want to reward you.
Yeah.
This was the guy the fans are enjoying more.
Well, you know, I think that it's, you know, it's come to the point, and that's where it's great to have, you know, guys who wrestle for you that don't have egos, that don't think they need to be in the spotlight all the time. Because to me, you know, with DBW, the way it's been, just about every match can be a main event match. Like, each match is its own separate special thing. Yes, we do have championships here to reward the top of the top and who's the best of the best at the time. You know, for example, Blaze is our DBW world champ. Then we've got Zach the Hellhound Romig, who is our global champion, which is kind of like our intercontinental. And then we have Scorpion the Assassin is our world extreme champ. We have the Powers Investment. Is our tag team champions. And then we have myself as the Anarchy champion. So, and I think would also, that's another cool thing about DBW is I think some of our titles are unique as far as the concepts behind them, like the Anarchy Championship. Mm-hmm. You know, every match is contested in a triple threat, fatal four way or more. It's never a one-on-one match with that title. So it's very unique.
Yeah, which makes it, again, more enjoyable.
More enjoyable, and you never, it's so hard to defend the title because you're not in a one-on-one match. So you got to worry about multiple people every match. And then we have the number one contender championship, which is our version of the Money in the Bank. Yeah. But instead of having a briefcase, we have an actual title that can be cashed in at any time for any title. So that's another thing that's really cool. And that's only contested once a year, at our Total Domination events, which is our next event coming up. And it can be used at any point for the next year. So that's another little thing that we have that kind of keeps you on edge. Like, oh, when's he going to cash in? You know, what's going to happen? Yes.
And it's like, they can go really well, or they can just flop, which is, I hate the flop, obviously. I want it to go really well.
I think in almost all cases for us, it's been a great surprise, which has been really well.
I bet that must be the hardest to book, because if it goes on for too long, you get to see the rivalry, but if you do it too early, you've got no other storyline, really. You've kind of blown away one of the best ones you can do.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it does have to be timed just right for the cash-in, so that way you're not breaking down this amazing storyline that you've taken time to build. So it does have to be done just right. And I think so far we've hit home runs. So.
I think one of the best cash-ins in any wrestling was that Seth Rollins one I did at WrestleMania.
Oh, by far. By far.
It was the first WrestleMania I watched live. I don't know how old I must have been. I can't remember what year it was in. But yeah, the first one where my parents were like, yeah, you can watch this one live. And I loved it. I hated the character.
Oh, sure.
You love to hate them, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the biggest show of shows. Like,
yeah, it's, that's incredible. Probably
bigger than the industry, if you think about it.
Yeah, and we've done, we've had one cash-in for DBW that was very similar. It actually happened at last year's Judgment Day, which Judgment Day for us is our WrestleMania. That's our biggest event of the year. And Adam Anderson, who's just a sneaky little oof. He took the golden opportunity and cashed in against me. And the odds got the best of me. I was just in a ridiculous match. That wasn't Judgment Day. That was Total Domination last year. Because we have a special match. And that's the other thing, too, about DBW, which I can hit on in a little bit, is we have, on top of having interesting titles, we have original concept matches on top of that. He took the opportunity at one of our biggest events of the year for Total Domination and cashed in on me and ended my record title reign and became world champion. So
that adds a lot of credibility, beating the record title reign.
It makes sense. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I think in the whole time frame that DBW has existed since we've had the world title, there's only been, I think, 6 or 7 world champions. So in all that time. So it's an exclusive club.
It means something.
It really definitely does.
It's something that when they win it, you can go, wow, they are the guy, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you definitely have more responsibility, because you are basically the standard bearer for the company. You're the mouthpiece of the company. You are the guy for the company. But that's with all the championships here. If you hold a title, because you got to think, I have a larger roster than a lot of backyard wrestling fans. I mean, to have 20 to 25, sometimes 30 guys at one time wrestling, and I only have like 6 titles. So you got to think, out of 30 guys, 25 guys, only 6 are champions.
Yeah, and you want quite a few of them to be seen, obviously, as threats. But
Correct. So
must be hard to manage. When you're booking a show, do you have like a set routine? Like, do you always want a certain match at a certain place on the card?
No, we don't. So we were for a while, but we like to change things up and keep things fresh. Of course, your world title is always going to be your main event. But when it comes to other things, you know, we were starting a lot of our shows with the Anarchy Championship. And we have since moved that back in the card a little bit, and it's seen a lot more success. We've really, I think, done a good job at varying up when certain matches are in the card and non-title matches with title matches. So I think we've done a good job at that, but running a show is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. I mean, making sure that everyone knows the match card order, make sure that we have all the entrance themes, make sure who knows who's going over and winning the match, who's heel, who's face, time frames for matches, storylines. It's a ton of work, but it's worth it to have a great show.
And you enjoy it.
Yes.
What do you value more, working for the crowd or the camera? Because you can do both, but which one is the priority when you're in the ring?
Always working for the crowd. And here's why. It doesn't matter if it's 10 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people. The crowd, if you get them behind you in your match or get them invested into your match, you will naturally have a better match because the crowd is behind you or behind the match in every step of the way. Always play to the crowd.
Yeah, I think that's why some of the matches that are in discussion for the greatest match of all time, when you hear people talking, the crowd has always been amazing, which elevates it to
completely agree. Yep.
And I prefer, like, when you're watching wrestling now through the pandemic, it's still good, it's still talented, but you prefer the crowd.
You know, I don't think that a lot of people realize how much the crowd plays a part in matches and events until you don't have it. Yeah. And to be honest with you, wrestling some weeks is hard to even watch because the crowd can mask so many mistakes of a match or just different dead spots in a match or things like that. You know, when you wrestle in front of a quiet room, it doesn't have the same effect as fans cheering and booing and screaming their lungs out. You know, that's part of the show. And that's been missing for so long. And I'm so glad WrestleMania, the last one they had a crowd and had the fans. That was so great because it felt like normalcy again.
Yeah. And although it wasn't at full capacity, it was still great. It was
so phenomenal. Yeah.
Even though they had to cut off for the weather at the beginning.
I actually thought that was cool because it's like, it brings that unpredictability. Like we are live, you know? Yeah.
It makes it so much better than the pre-recorded dead room quiet, which obviously, again, like I said, is still talented, but it's not as good as a watch.
Sure.
When you go into, do you make characters or do the people who come in already have established ones or is it probably a mixture?
So that is one of the biggest differences from the indies to backyard wrestling is whenever you work for an independent promoter, a lot of promoters, not all, but a lot of promoters will tell you what they want you to be. For DBW, we have complete creative freedom to be whatever gimmicks and whatever characters you want to be.
Which can work amazing, like we've seen in the past.
It does. It works so good. And we have some really characters really developing this year that I'm very excited to see how they play out. But that's the great thing about DBW. I'm not going to, I used to be kind of strict on characters, but I'm like, nah, not anymore. And I'm just like, yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, now these guys will pitch these crazy ideas for characters. And I'm like, go for it. Let's do it. Let's see how it works. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about some of the biggest characters in the history of professional wrestling, they're pretty unbelievable. If you wrote it down and you were in an office and you were given it, you'd be like, nah. But because they put time and effort into it and they're in front of, they make it work. People know what they need to do for themselves, which is great fun.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's been working for us, and I will never not give my guys creative freedom. They will always have the freedom to be whatever they want to be.
I suppose that brings a lot of attraction then for other people who want to apply, I suppose. They get to have creative control, which is valued a lot by a lot of people.
Yeah, and it should be, because that's part of the fun and the entertainment and the excitement of doing it as a hobby or profession.
When you made a character for yourself, did you think about what you could do, or do you think about what you want your characters to be able to do when you're piecing together the different parts? Did you change the character to suit you, or did you change yourself to suit the character?
I think both. I think you have to do both. I think that there's some ways, like, for example, how I was explaining the transition from my kind of conceited character to this evil guy thing. I tweaked that up majorly, and it's what I thought could work for me, but it's really what I thought could work for the character. You know, I'm one of the biggest guys in backyard wrestling when it comes to just overall size, so I have the ability to, you know, cater my moveset to, you know, be that style, to, you know, do choke slams and different high power moves and things like that. So if you have a guy that's, you know, 5'5" and trying to choke slam somebody, well, that doesn't really look realistic. I think you have to do a little bit of everything when it comes to actually making the character, and a big part of it is the move set. You know, I've come up with a lot of original moves, which is really cool, which I love to do. Some moves that are unique to my character specifically, that has never been done before. We have some guys that have done that, and it just, those things stick out, and that also helps you solidify and establish your character as well.
Yeah, I agree that it's what I was hoping you were going to go for when I asked the question, actually, because if I got a set answer, you do one of them, I'd have been a bit, oh no.
it's definitely both, man.
Yeah, there's a few different, wrestling is interesting in popularity. Everybody knows what it is. Pretty much everybody can name at least one wrestler that's not The Rock, which is in movies.
Sure.
Now. But not everybody really understands the appeal, which I like to say when I'm explaining, when they go, it's fake, I go, well, so are movies, but that doesn't seem to really click with
exactly. That's the perfect answer. You know, it is entertainment.
Yeah,
it is sports entertainment. To me, it's on the same level as watching professional basketball, professional football, professional soccer, professional anything. It is, you have to be athletically gifted to be a professional wrestler, and so much more. You know, whenever you're watching basketball, you know, they don't have characters. You don't have to worry about being a character. You just have to be athletically able to perform at a high level. Well, in wrestling, you have to be able to do that too. Plus, you got to try to portray this character of someone that you're not in real life or not behind the scenes. So it's like a double-edged sword thing that you've got to be both. So to me, wrestling is more difficult.
It's like a mix between gymnastics, kind of dance, I suppose, when you're playing it, drama, as in movies, and you get one take.
Yeah, and MMA.
And MMA, yeah. Do you think then, when someone's going into it, a background in martial arts helps or makes it harder? Because I think it could do both. Makes it harder because some of the moves are similar and you actually want to hurt them. I think it helps that you know how to take a fall without getting hurt because you're trained, for example.
Yeah, I think it's both. I think it's both. I think just being in a world of contact sport, you know, because wrestling is a contact sport. You can't fake all these moves. You know, a suplex you can't fake, you're taking it. You know, you're taking being laid flat out on your back on the ring, and the ring is not soft, by the way. It is not soft. I think it's definitely both. I think with people who have backgrounds in MMA and martial arts and things like that, I think it can help you, depending on how you use it, and how do you want your character to incorporate some of that in the fighting style? You know, that could definitely help.
It can help the character, like you said, like Brock Lesnar. He's legitimately seen as a beast, not just because of the size of him, but because he proved it in what most people just say real fights. Even both, I respect both, but it really helped make his character a lot more believable. especially when he bet Undertaker's streak, which I think a lot of people know about. The unbelievable, the fact that it was unbelievable wasn't the fact that he bet him, it was that he bet him at WrestleMania.
That yes.
was what made everybody go, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, it was definitely one of those shock factor moments in wrestling history. But yeah, Brock Lesnar's character has definitely, you know, you can see his amateur wrestling background play into a lot of his moveset and everything like that. But he's just a big dude, and you know,
yeah, it doesn't help. It doesn't.
He can do what he wants.
I wouldn't pick a fight with him, that's for sure.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So we've done a lot of. Basically, we're at the perfect time for talking. Mostly, we still can go on. This one question that spoke to me about wrestling. Do you find it easier to make the match up as you go because you get to adapt to the reaction, or is it easier to plan ahead so that you don't make a mistake and the crowd can't hear you?
So I have wrestled against guys that have done it both ways. I've done it myself both ways before, where we predetermine the match in its entirety before the match even starts. And then I've wrestled where, you know, let's just kind of get in there and just kind of talk to each other and go as we go. Yeah. As far as a preference goes, I think I would actually prefer a little bit of both. And what I mean is you plan some bigger spots and bigger events that happen during the match, and then just kind of work around that and talk to each other as you go. So I think it's a mix of both. Because I think if you predetermine it too much, you can forget about a lot of things. You can forget about working in the crowd. You can forget about and it just doesn't seem as realistic. It seems too scripted.
Yeah.
Versus if you plan out a couple big spots and work around it as the match progresses, I think that's the best way to go.
And you overthink it as well. I would anyway. I'd be like, oh, well, the crowd aren't adapting, but we've planned this. What do we do? And then by the time I thought it through, we'd be at that spot.
Yeah, that is correct.
For training to wrestle, you get a lot of people tell you different ages. There's a few schools, they're about 2 hours away, the nearest ones from me, so I'm quite unlucky. But I get ages, like some say 16, which I suppose fair enough. Some say 12, which seems a bit low, but again, compared to the ones I've seen, I mean, that makes sense. And then there's ones that are really strict to 18. What would you say the ideal time is to start the basics?
So this is a tough question because, you know, my son, I think it all depends on who's training you and how much the person who's getting the training really wants to do it, regardless of what age they are. I think the age of consent here in Maryland and Pennsylvania in the United States is 16 with parental consent. But I started training my son when he was 9. So, you know, but he was getting training from me directly every day and every time he set foot in the ring in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, I think, you know, it just depends. I don't know if there really is a set age. Yeah, it depends on the person, depends on the trainer and how much they want to put into it.
Yeah, like I said, it seems to depend on the teacher as well. Like I saw this interview with Tyler Breeze, and he's quite strict in the fact that he wants them 18, but then you hear all these other people that are obviously really trusted in the industry that are like, well, not always. And you see all these big names that are really good, and you could say it's because they trained earlier.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it really just depends.
Depends on the person and
if
they're going to stick to it, I suppose. How hard was it to stick to wrestling at times? Was there times when you thought, forget it, I need to just quit or something?
Well, yeah, it is very hard. Depending on what you have going on in your life and, you know, different things going on. Like I said, we took about a 4 or 5 year break before we really started to pick back up again. But it is hard sometimes because you want to make the time for it, but depending on, you know, jobs and life and family and different things going on, it can be hard to make the time. Wrestling is not something that you want to rush. You know, if you're putting, you know, time and effort into it and keeping everybody safe and making a good product, you want to make sure you invest time. It takes a lot of time. You know, whether, you know, it's just a recording of the match themselves, preparing for the matches, you know, getting stretching for the matches and, you know, being prepared to do the moves and then the recording and the editing and the posting. It's a lot of time. So it has been difficult. You know, I think it, if it's something that you really want to do, like anything, you know, you'll make the time for it.
Yeah, that makes sense, obviously. It's like when I was doing this podcast around about January area, I kind of lost a bit of motivation, but I still enjoyed doing it. And I didn't want to rush content that wasn't good. I wanted it to actually be content people enjoy, interviews people enjoy. So instead of rushing it and taking terrible episodes that would have had it taken down within a week anyway, I've done that before. I regret that episode a lot, but when you want it to be something you enjoy as much as the listeners and the viewers.
Yeah, hopefully people enjoy this one.
Yeah, I think they will. It's quite fun to record because I've always wanted wrestling on my show because I'm a big fan. But it's about finding one that's interesting. And I thought backyard wrestling, my favorite backyard wrestling that I've watched more recently.
Well, I appreciate that. And there's a lot of backyard wrestling guys you could have went out to, so I definitely appreciate the time and everything. You know, I've had a great run here. I don't know how many more years I have left myself, but, you know, I've wrestled a lot of names in the backyard wrestling scene. There's still a couple on my bucket list I want to do before I hang it up. I mean, even in the indie scene, you know, whenever I was training with the indies, I actually trained with Luke Gallows. He was in my training class.
Oh, wow.
Because he's from this area. So him and I were, we literally trained for pro wrestling the same year. So I just keep thinking to myself, you know, if I would have stuck it out and stuck with it, what could I be? What could I have done if he got that far and, you know, has done some amazing things, still doing amazing things.
Yeah.
You know? But I've wrestled WWE Hall of Famers. I wrestled Nikolai Volkov in a match. So, I mean, I've done a lot of things that I don't take for granted. And I definitely am so thankful that I've had the experiences that I've had.
Which is what you do it for. You do it for the experience, the fun. Obviously, you want paid as well, but yep. You don't get started in it for the money, is what I'm saying.
Correct. Yeah, I haven't made a dollar from it. I've spent a lot. No, it's not about the money for me. It's just about the experience and being able to capture everything and have it be recorded for forever. So,
great. Anything you'd like to say?
All right, guys. So I just want to make mention that here we'll have a specific date set very, very soon. Just keep an eye on our DBW YouTube channel, DBW on Facebook. We're on Instagram and Twitter as well. But our next big show is Total Domination 6, which is one of our biggest events of the year. It's the only time of the year where you'll see the number one contender championship on the line. It's the only time of the year where you'll see the dreaded penitentiary match for Blaze defending his DBW World Championship. And, of course, I will be defending my DBW Anarchy Championship along with taking some souls. So just stay tuned for those dates coming up for our Total Domination 6 mega event.
I can't wait, and I'll post it onto mine when it comes out for the viewers. Thanks for coming on. All right, guys, that was amazing. Check out DBW. I'll put the links in the description of wherever you're listening, on Spotify, Apple, maybe even YouTube if we get lucky, and it processes really well, which it should. I can't wait. This was quite fun to film. Different, obviously, I've always wanted to get wrestling on my show. It's about finding the right one, obviously. And backyard wrestling's great. I've watched the show for a few years now, at least a year. I know that. I can go find videos and I recommend it. So, yeah, thanks again for coming on. And thank you guys for listening. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. I'll see you next time.